The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Chelsea put in a statement performance at home versus Borussia Dortmund. Uninspired Tottenham again fail to impress as they get knocked out by AC Milan. Bayern Munich show their strengths at home as they beat PSG 2-0. And Benfica easily advanced to the next round with a 5-1 win over Club Brugge.
Well, Musty, before we get into the Champions League, I've got something I want to remind you, especially you, because I know your love of golf. Don't miss Rory McIlroy, John Rahm and Justin Thomas as the best golfers in the world take on the 17th Island Green and go head-to-head at the Players. Thursday through Sunday on NBC, on Golf and on Peacock. And I know you will be watching that, my friend.
That's because I'm off. I'm off this next weekend at the studio. Oh. So apart from the football, I'll be watching the golf as well. The Players is one of the best tournaments. And the 16th. Bucket list, mate. I've got to go and play that course. Play that 17th. Island Green. It's a fun, fun show. Be good.
Let's get back to the bigger ball, the football.
Yeah, all right.
It was kicking off at Stamford Bridge.
Oh, God.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Some pressure on the team, some pressure on the manager. I watched the whole sort of build-up, Rob, watching social media. People were talking about the tension that was coming into the stadium and people didn't really know what to expect. Dortmund, I have to say, looked like millions of fans who were walking down South London. There were shots of the yellow wall and, you know, them bringing an atmosphere. So it was really set up, Rob, for one of those big Champions League nights. And you would have to say, I wouldn't say for the first time this season, but Graham Potter's team turned up.
Yeah, it did, Rob. It was just one of those nights, you know. It's one of them where it's kind of a little bit pivotal, I think, in terms of the crowd and their reaction to the manager. Everybody knows the pressure that Potter's under. Everybody has been commenting about how the team is struggling badly, you know, not much sign of progression, chopping, changing all the time. Well, he didn't chop and change. It was, I think we said it, Robert, maybe a week or a couple of weeks ago about the team seems a little better set up in a three at the back with two wing-backs. You've got two of the best, really, in Chilwell and Reece James. Kukureya went back into that left-sided centre-back with Koulibaly and Fofana. Fofana particularly excellent on the day. And it worked out. You know, it worked out. They were a little unlucky in the first half. Looked like Kai Havertz going to have one of those days again where one of them swings, hits the post, and they got frustrated a few times. I thought the movement between Sterling and Havertz was pretty good, Rob.
Yeah.
Sometimes Havertz through the middle, Sterling to the right, and then you look at the game a little later, it's like, well, no, Sterling's in the middle and Havertz to the right. So I think you're starting to see that with other teams now, just a little bit more rotation from those front players. But then, you know, finally the goal came, Raheem Sterling, Rob, 43rd minute.
Yeah.
You know, one of them goals, weird goal where he first shoots, misses the blimmin' ball, a little deflection. It lands beautifully for his right foot and he sticks it into the roof of the net and they're off and running. So, it was deserved. It was a good atmosphere there. Mm. There was more tempo about them, Rob. There was more drive to attack, you know, more impetus. Fans got involved in the game. Mm. And dare I say, mate, I'll cut to the end real quick and we can kind of go back on ourselves a little bit. Is that the first time we've seen Graham Potter? I'm sure you noticed it, you know, a little emotional, a little fired up, a little bit of fist pump into the crowd. Looked like enjoying it, mate. Enjoying it for the first time, the first day in his job there.
I've wrote my note here. For me, it was the first time Graham Potter's got the real feeling of being a Chelsea manager. Mm. What being a Chelsea manager can be. With a packed stadium, with, you know, a big night in Europe, with, you know, you've got quality, they've got quality. Like, you know, can your tactical ability and your experience get you out of a situation, which it did? His team got the goals. You know, nothing particularly beautiful about either goal in some respects, but very important goals, two important goal scorers, Havertz and Sterling, you know, attackers who haven't been getting goals. I thought it was a huge night. I thought it was a brilliant atmosphere. Both sets of fans played the part. Yeah. Both teams, you know, Dortmund's a decent team, Robbie. They ain't coming on your patch and you're having it your own way. I thought he said something in the press conference after. I don't know if you heard. He said he wanted the first 15, 20 minutes his team to be aggressive, to go out, to be a bit physical, to stop them playing out the back as easy as they want, stop them building up a rhythm, which we know
they do.
Little spells and little pockets of play where they nitty passes together and that they're a very, very clever, cute team with their tactics in the way they play. But I thought Chelsea went about their business well. You're dead right. I picked out a couple of people. I thought Cucurella, Rob, considering what he's been through, excellent on that left side back.
Yeah.
Two wing-backs make a difference. You've got Chilwell and Reece James, and if you've got possession, they can make a difference for your team. I thought Fofana was excellent.
Yeah.
I think he's growing into the player we saw at Leicester. I also thought Kovacic in midfield, Rob, just did a good job.
I like him.
Possession and, I know Enzo gets the headlines and they're talking about who's the partner. But Kovacic did a really good job behind them. And knits a game together. He's smart, he's clever, he can keep the ball, he can dribble out of situations. So I thought there were some good performances from some people who've, you know, been up against it a little bit. Not least though the manager. And you're right, because I thought he almost acted more like a Chelsea manager. You know, I thought he played his part in the game. And sometimes that as a Big Six manager, I think you've got to do that. You've got to influence things. And I know sometimes, and we don't all like it, but linesmen and referees and situations and players and, you know, the best, and we all know who they are, all had a way of influencing matches. Graham Potter, having come from Brighton, that was, you know, a great football team, you play your football, you win your game, everybody's happy. It's different when you go into that spotlight he's in now. And I thought it was a big night for him, almost like sort of showing that he can grow into this role.
Yeah, let me continue that, Rob, because it's really interesting. It's almost like, you know, he looks so like, almost like a deer in the headlights at Chelsea since day one.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, all the things that's gone on with the squad and the signings and the games and all the pressure that he's under. As if he's like, you know, a bit of imposter syndrome. Like, should I be here? Like,
I think he's doubted himself, Rob.
Yeah.
He did an interview last week where he talked about, obviously, the mental health and the family and, obviously, the death threats. It's a terrible thing. But the things he was talking about, Robert, I always remember coming off and thinking, it sounds to me like he's doubting whether he's good enough for this job. Yeah. He's doubting that he was that young coach at Brighton that everybody was talking about, that he was giving, you know, big teams a problem. I think he had a little bit of a kind of had to get hold of himself.
It's confidence, Rob, isn't it? It's
got
confidence for a manager, mate. It must be the same as a player. Like, you can't until you start winning some games and you start becoming a little bit more confident of what you're doing and whether you belong at this club, until you can start puffing your chest out, and still you can go to the fans and you can punch the fans and they can cheer as you fist bump the air and stuff like that, and giving all this to the fans and trying to get them going. And I think that comes with confidence. And he's a bit, he isn't that type of guy generally, but I think maybe he's got to embrace a little bit of that and he's got to get out of his head. Get out of his own head. I'm the coach here. And wins, you know, we've said it all along, you know, wins solve everything. Yeah, they fix everything. And, you know, just back on the football, Rob, there's a few moments, right? And we saw this, to be fair, in the first leg at Dortmund, Rob, where the little triangles, the little slick football kind of happened. Yeah. And the fans give a round of applause and it builds up lovely. A few times it was slick through midfield to wing back, to right side forward, to overlapping forward player. They looked at moments to be really slick and really good. Now, what I think it does, Rob, it does give them now what they've desperately needed, a foundation, something to build on.
Yeah.
Like it looks like, you know, the defensive side of things. Maybe Cucurella, Rob, maybe, you know, when you see him playing, he's technically good.
Yeah.
Maybe his limitations as a fullback in the wide areas against players that, remember some of the stuff we picked out, Rob, from our Premier League shows where like, he gets beat really easy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's maybe he's not a good one-on-one defender in a wider area. Bring him inside a little bit where he really has that. Bodies around him. He hasn't got to get, you know, gets a dribbling winger. He anticipated the ball, you know, so maybe he's comfortable there. I mean, Wesley Fofana, you know, he looked $1 million at Leicester City and then he got that bad injury.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big fee.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he can be a star. I really do at
Chelsea. I'm doing a little breakdown of him, Rob, on one of our players of the night the weekend. And just because it's against Leicester, against his former team. So I've just been watching tape for all of yesterday, just bits, good bits, bad bits. No, I'll tell you what, Yanov made a difference in this team, Rob. And I tell you what, he's brilliant at. If people are shooting, he throws his body down the line of the ball and gets great blocks in. He's got good reading of situations. He's got good recovery pace when he needs to. And he's good on the ball as well.
He's really good coming out. I thought you were going to say
comfortable out on the ball, especially on that right-hand side. If you've got him and Reece James and a midfield player like a Kovacic, someone who can knit it together, that looks pretty good to me.
Just want to rewind a little bit, Rob, on the goals.
Yeah.
Now, you might argue, a cynic out there might argue that Chelsea had a little bit of fortune. Maybe the bounce of the ball, the refereeing decisions. Handball, mate. Handball.
Yeah, well, let's go to the first one. So I've wrote a note on my first one. I said, the first goal almost summed up Graham Potter's Chelsea. Chilwell with the ball comes over to Ryan Sterling, who's, listen, got one of the best records. I think he's only a couple behind Rooney now in terms of Champions League goals. I think he's 27, it's a crazy number. So he air kicks, completely misses a ball, hits his standing foot, comes to him, takes a step, smashes it into the back of the net, 1-0. Which almost sums up Graham Potter's Chelsea. Like, the first shot is nowhere near. Like, his forwards have looked like they couldn't a barn door, and then all of a sudden it falls him in a nice way. He takes a good step, gets a great contract, the 1-0 up, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Second goal, let's move on to the Chilwell down the line again. Chilwell, who was excellent all game, thought he looks back fit and hungry and can get up and down the pitch now without any worry. I mean, basically, Rob, what we're saying in this situation is if the ball hits your hand in any way, in any shape, in any form, in UEFA competition, it's going to be a penalty. That's what it means.
Couldn't agree more, mate.
If I'm playing now, I've got to tell you, I would be aiming the ball at people's hands and then shouting to the referee, go to VAR. Because based on what we saw, the position of the hand, the expected, where it is, where it hits, proximity, and all those things seem to go out the window. If a ball hits your hand in the penalty box in UEFA competition, the referee is going to give a penalty.
Yeah, and I hate it. I hate it. Totally agree, Rob. And you know what? You know, people out there, you know, heard some reaction and stuff saying that his hand's away from his body, right? I'll tell you what. Football's really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. If you got to play and your arms...
It's hard enough anyway. Never mind having to do that, Rob. It's hard enough anyway.
The rule isn't if the arm's away from the body.
No.
You can't play football with your arms stuck to the side of your body. And there's always a moment in time when you're moving and the hand slightly comes away from the body. Yeah. It's just, I mean, the distance to react was impossible.
Yeah.
Flicked his arm back. I just think, wow. Like, and no, I'm not saying that others aren't given like that. As you said, Rob, in UEFA competition, that's given a ton more than that would in the Premier League. I'm not sure that's given in the Premier League. I'm more on it to be like, the arm, you can't play with it. Even though you see players put their arms behind their back.
Yeah, right behind the back.
That's super unnatural. Shouldn't have to do that. Unless we're going to bring the rules, you know, anytime the arm is... The rule says, are you making yourself unnaturally bigger?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say that that's an unnatural position.
But they should just change it. They basically should just change it, Rob. If it hits your hand, we're going to give a penalty. Then
well,
that's
we quite rubbish,
know. Isn't
it? No, it's rubbish,
Rob. It is rubbish, but that's rubbish. But that's where we are. Because the debates we're having are legitimate debates about how the arm has got to be in a certain position away from your arm, which is natural just to run. If you go to run and lift your right knee, let me tell you, your left hand starts to come up a little bit just to balance you out.
Yeah.
This is just human nature. But basically, in UEFA, Rob, it's absolute 1,000,000%. As soon as you went to over, you may as well say, get your pants ready. It's incredible.
And the referee, Rob, the referee's right there, right?
Yeah.
Listen, I can't recall seeing exactly where he was, right? So if people say he didn't get a great view, maybe he didn't.
Yeah,
But again, another one of those, the play happens, he's kind of there, and he's like, God, the ball just hits him.
Yeah.
The natural instinct was, God, the ball just hit him.
Carry on.
And then the VAR gets involved. Yeah, well, you look at that. His arm is slightly away from his body. And I tell you now, I promise, if anybody watches any kind of game and the ball's going to zip around the box or getting crosses, watch defenders' arms.
Yeah.
It's impossible. They're not going to be down by their sides, pinned to their... They're going to be a little bit to the side for balance and for ready to... So it winds me up terribly, and in the UEFA it's as worse as it is. So I thought Chelsea were a little lucky to get it, but again, others might say, well, they're given, okay, all right, they're given. I'm just saying, my goodness, that's harsh on and I think the Dortmund
players were
Dortmund, the German press, and all that. They're gonna kill that, but they were like, you know, that's a crazy decision. Mm. But we have seen them given. I don't like it. It was given. And then you get the Kai Havertz. Again, talk about, you know, the bounce of the ball and stuff like that. He misses. And then one of their players encroaching.
Comes to him, He clears the ball. Because he clears the ball, has to be retaken. He's retaken. He keeps his cool and fairness, finds the back of the net.
And gutsy, mate.
Yeah.
Gutsy, you know, to say, I want it again.
I've been critical of him in terms of his hunger and his real drive to get goals. Could tell you that's a pressure one, isn't it? I mean, Graham Potter couldn't even look, bless him. He had his head down, couldn't just wait for the cheers, and he got the cheers and got the win.
Good for him.
Well done for him. Interesting, Rob. Just a couple of things that came out of the game that I wanted to chuck across you. No Mason Mount, no Mudryk in the starting 11. As you say, things are moving and maybe there's a bit of shape starting to come. Now, of course, Mudryk's new to the league, big signing, maybe hasn't quite settled as you'd like, maybe picked up a bit of illness, I think, as well, when he first come over. So, you know, some reasons for not. But spend that kind of money, you chase somebody that much, not in the starting 11. And no Mason Mount, Rob, who has been, you know, come through the ranks, been a big part of Chelsea's success over the last few years, not in the starting 11.
Mm.
Anything to read into those, mate?
Well, we know that Mason Mount's contract's, you know, getting...
Yeah.
Close to being over, and there's big talk about, you know, possibly leaving the club. It's funny in this setup. To be fair, you've got Kovacic and Enzo Fernandez in midfield, Rob. You've got your wing backs, your front three. I suppose you want to be the most kind of skillful, capable of creating something, scoring something. Now, Mason Mount can do that, but I'd see him more as a number eight.
He's an eight,
coming from
a
little bit deeper than playing up there, like Joao Felix, and Raheem Sterling. Played just in behind.
Underneath him, yeah.
So I kind of get that. Mudryk is, you know, we'll always give new young players, Rob, a big feast. We'll give him time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, let's be honest. We haven't seen anything from him.
No.
You know,
little subby came on, didn't he? I think
the first game, Rob.
Against Liverpool, was it, or something? He came on, did a couple of things.
Yeah.
And
he struggled a little bit. But again, there'll be time for him. But massive fee. And God, that was a big, you know, so that's a bit concerning if you're a Chelsea fan. But I mean, it was a good night for Potter, a good night for the team, and now, like I said, I'm sure everything's not rosy in the garden, Rob, and there's other games, other challenges, but at least now the pressure's off.
There were
some movements of really slick football.
Yeah.
I do like João Félix. I know the end product, he hasn't quite
he's a proper footballer, isn't he?
Yeah. I just think he's a really
good player
to watch.
Yeah. I read this morning that they're already talking about trying to make that permanent come the summer.
They
feel that, he's an important part of it. Potter wants him around.
Yeah, I like
you can see so. And just a quick one on, it's good to see Christian Pulisic back in the fold. He got, 10 minutes at the end, ran around, made a couple of, against his former team. And, he's one of them, Rob, who at this stage might have to come off the bench, but can be one of those players who plays underneath a 10. And we know with Pulisic, when he gets warm and when he gets in rhythms, he can create things and make things happen. So, still, chances for him, you would think, in the competition to get some match time.
Yeah, and he needs it, doesn't he? He needs minutes. He looked a little rusty, I thought, when he came onto field. But, if this is going to be the setup with the two holding ploys in midfield, then absolutely, that's where he wants to play. Just in behind. He's got the skill, the creativity to make things happen. He's got a chance. He's under a different manager now. There's another chance for him, to prove himself. I mean, there's a lot of talk in the papers, Rob, about he's one of the players who's going to leave the club in the summer.
Yeah.
And there's a few of them that's going to leave. But, you never know. It's a good few months now for him to the end of the season to try and get into the starting lineup or be first off the bench or a reason to stay on. I don't know whether he feels like he wants to leave anyway because he's not going to be a regular starter. We'll see. But he's fit again. Yeah. Playing again and did okay. Just one other thing as well, Jude Bellingham, Rob, just a player that we keep an eye on because it's likely he's going to move in the summer. Another one of the players at Dortmund they've developed. Yeah. They bought, super young from Birmingham City, wasn't it?
Birmingham, Rob? A 16-year-old.
He missed a sitter, didn't he? He missed a sitter.
Yeah, he had a good chance. One dropped down, didn't it, to him, and he just hit it side of the post,
Do you think he's good? Do you think he's ideal for the Premier League? Do you think he'd be ideal for Liverpool?
I do, Robert. I know it wasn't maybe his best day. He's still got he's got a way about him that looks classy, and he can he covers the ground well. He closes down. He's good at closing down, winning the ball, and starting transitions. I just think, he's played in England, so he knows what it's like as well. Albeit he was in the Championship when he was here, but played plenty of Champions League football. Now I think only Trent Alexander-Arnold's got more appearances as a 21-year-old or something crazy like that. So, I think he's a catch for any of the big boys, Rob. I think any of the big boys would look at him. And, there's probably two or three roles in him. I think at some point he could be a six, he can be an eight, he could be a 10. He could play in any of them, in flexible positions where he can really influence the game as well. He's good at getting in the box. I mean, he mistimed a couple last night. One was just a bit high for him, and the one that came down when he had the shot. But he's good at arriving in the box, Rob. Makes good runs in between spaces, comes into the box late, and, with his size and his power, he's going to be difficult to pick up.
Yeah, I think he would benefit from a strong manager.
Yeah, discipline, to make
sure he's disciplined. I think he could sometimes show us a bit lazy sometimes in certain moments in games. I know Didi Haman, I said this on a previous show, Rob, that watches him more often than we do as a German analyst, and said that sometimes at Dortmund, he's so good that they let him get away with being a little lazy and he's a bit of a luxury player for them. That's why, if Haman is accurate with that, then, a tough manager will take him to another level where, you don't want to be like that.
If it's Klopp, if it's...
They're going to demand
more. You're not passengers there, right? You've got to do a job.
Yeah, so I'd like to see that. Yeah.
Just an interest, just lastly on this, but we will move on. It was funny, Rob. I was listening to a couple of the radio shows and stuff going on in England, and, Chelsea fans happy that they're through, pleased with Potter, quarterfinals. And there was a couple coming on, and I mean, it's amazing football in our change. And we're saying, listen, I don't want to get carried away, but we've got enough quality to go all the way in this tournament. And kind of, laugh first, and you think, they've been struggling, they couldn't beat Southampton in the Premier League. But when you start to look through the group, Rob, and you start to think like, if he at form and they that knits together and that, you start thinking, that's not such a not the craziest thing you've ever heard.
Well, it's right. If even this team, if you imagine if they can play at their very, very best level, then, I mean, and by the way, Chelsea won it. I watched them win it in Munich, that was. Yeah. I was there in a stadium.
Di Matteo's
team when they had Ryan Bertrand playing as a left. Yeah. So, it's it's a knockout competition. It's one game or two games, then one game in the final. So yeah, why not?
Last time, didn't they?
Yeah, why not? They're in the quarterfinals now. You know, and what a boost that would be to continue and you know, get a decent draw and then head towards the semi-finals of the Champions League. That would be amazing.
Just keep the season going, wouldn't it? And keep like the buzz around Potter, which is, you kind of feel he could do with that between now and the end of the season, and then hopefully kicks off next year.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
And, you know, things really start to take off. Yeah. Let's move on to Tottenham Hotspur, my friend, who were 1-0 down against AC Milan at home. With, I think people generally had said it's a decent Milan team, but it's not one to be totally feared. Tottenham at home, thinking Conte's back on the sideline, everything's in place, you know, the stadium will be absolutely alive. And that was about as far as the good things went, I think, from kickoff to almost last kick of the game. It almost felt to me, Rob, like they had a 1-0 lead and they were protecting a 1-0 lead and saying, you know, a 0-0 draw is a great result for us. Mm. It never looked to me once like they really got hold of the game and decided to give it a real good
go. Same as
Milan won't have to change it. They won't have to change their strips. They'll just give it to the kit man and say, put that in, because it wasn't that hard for them to come to get a 0-0 at Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, I think it was no shots on target in the first half. I don't think either team.
I mean, how many times have we said it, Rob? That the team plays with its handbrake on. It's so cautious. It's so, like, we don't want to concede a goal. And by the way, they gave up some big chances to Milan.
They had big chances
in the first half, second half. I made a little note of them. It's like, God, you know, that Brahim Diaz, again, was a clever little player that was a threat.
You had
the crazy man, the madman at the back, Christian Romero,
he's a little conversation, mate. We'll save him for later.
Yeah. But in general, like, I'm looking at the team again. It's like the fans not involved in the game because it's so cautious.
No.
Because there's large chunks of the game, particularly in the first half, Rob, where, and I use this phrase quite a bit, where they waste it. They waste that first half in terms of the time, just so they're cautious, just so they don't concede, because they're going to grind later on. They're going to push later on. They're going to make some substitutes. They're going to play with a little bit more desperation. That doesn't come until the second half. So you waste that first 45 minutes. And even in the second half, there's still periods where Milan have the ball. You know, Spurs try and build up. They have an attack. Fans cheer. Then it goes. They can't sustain attacks. They can't put the pressure on. Their football's not good enough to constantly knock at the door. There's some other teams that we talk about, Rob, that continue to attack and on one side and then the other side. And it's going to come, the goal's coming. The fans, I mean, it's an incredible stadium they've got with a packed house, that desperate to get behind the team. And yet they don't use it.
It's like, honestly, they don't deserve that stadium, Rob. We saw at the weekend what Anfield can do to a Liverpool team, to bolster them, to keep pushing. You never get that sense at Tottenham.
And the fans are there
with the same expectations.
62,000 people.
They want to win. They want, you know, great atmosphere. Milan brought plenty of fans down. It's a top night in Europe. And you're looking at the Spurs players like, are they getting this? Do they think this is a League Cup or something? It just didn't feel like it was high-end, get through to the quarterfinals, knock Milan out. You know, this keeps our season going. We're in fourth place in the league. We'll be quarterfinals of the Champions League. And we, I mean, there's something at this club, Rob, that isn't right. There's something at this football club that isn't right. You go to Sheffield United, I think, in the FA Cup, was it? Don't play.
Yeah, they missed the couple of players. Didn't start Kane.
And didn't start, was it Romero or Dyer? Didn't start somebody at the back.
There goes another trophy.
You lose to Wolves in the Premier League at the weekend. You lose to Milan in the Champions League. I mean, you're sitting in full spot with Liverpool, who've picked right up, and Newcastle, who's still chasing your tail. Absolutely no guarantee that the fourth spot. That's a job on. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know with this team, mate. And listen, we spent plenty of time on the pod talking about Kane's future, Conte's future. My question was, what's the future of Tottenham?
Listen, Rob, like, okay, let me be devil's advocate, right? You're Daniel Levy, right? I'm just going to go back a couple of managers. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel with the Pochettino, you got close. Yeah. You need somebody to get him over the line, right? Mm-hmm. Jose Mourinho is hired.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow, they're going to do that, are they? Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, maybe that's what they need. Mm. And it's a struggle and it's tough to watch and it doesn't work out. And it took a little while, but that's what we got with him. Then you had the funny one with Nuno Espirito Santo, which is funny.
Weird, yeah.
And then Daniel Levy does the thing that we said, this is a good move. Yeah. You get a winner. You get a winner in there. And you bring him in and I know Conte wants flipping megastars all the time, but they have given him money, right? So what's Daniel Levy? I mean, nobody was saying that Antonio Conte was a bad signing as a manager.
He's had
a couple of windows now. They've strengthened in the wing-back positions, Kulusevski, Richarlison.
Well, strengthened, kind of, question mark.
Well,
I mean, is Emerson Royal that much better than Matt? Doherty.
No, not a lot. So that's
yeah, but that's, I would say that's got my point, Rob. The quality gap that they've done. They're technically, I would say Brighton are a better team than Spurs.
No, but the way that they play, Rob, right? And let's spin it forward, right, for that point. Okay. If you imagine Mauricio Pochettino, which is a lot of talk the last couple of days.
He's trending. I was gonna say Poch is trending all over the place.
Is there a situation, is there a world in which actually this squad actually, it ain't bad, and there is a little bit of there's a little bit of quality. It's just the philosophy of the team will change with Pochettino.
Is it
that bad? Can they find a good solid back four? Is Pedro Porro is good going forward? They've got options at left back. You know, Ben Davies is an experienced player. I'm not sure about some of the centre backs. We'll get onto that.
No.
But the midfield's solid enough. They've got some really bright attacking players. I don't know if it's that bad.
Isn't that a bit of a problem? I hear you, and it's a well made point. But isn't that a bit of a problem? And let's just go back to Brighton. So we talked, and you met, I think it was Paul Barber not long ago, and you talked about the succession planning. The group that were left by Graham Potter, who gets these great moves to Chelsea, takes many of his coaches with him and leaves Brighton in a pretty awkward position. They've already succession managed, so they get Roberto De Zerbi, who comes in with a similar style, with a little bit of tweaks, and all of a sudden, look what's happened.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying from Spurs is, you're going from apples to oranges to bananas to pear. You're not staying within So you're going, let's do a bit of that and build a squad that's built for Conte. The squad that's built for Conte ain't the same squad that's built for Poch. So Poch is going to come in and go, right, X, Y, and Z, it ain't for me. Good lads, but not the way I play. And he's going to want... So he's going to need a certain amount of money. Otherwise, you either have to go with the Conte way, and if it's not Conte, somebody who will play in that manner, who doesn't want the ball.
They've had a couple of them, Rob, with Mourinho.
And it ain't Tottenham, really.
It's not really Tottenham.
Like, probably your friends will say, I'll put up with it as long as we're winning.
They're not winning now,
and we've seen what we've seen.
Yeah, just on him, Rob. In terms of, you know, his contract's running up, mate. I think it's what is it? There's 12 games potentially left in charge for Antonio Conte. 12 games left. No sign of signing a new contract. are we assuming strongly that this is going to be the right thing as a parting of the ways at the end of the season with the club and Antonio Conte?
Robin, it's just come in, one of our producers just sent to us, that he's just done an interview after the game. I think he was locked in the dressing room where the words were being said. And apparently he said, I have a contract with Tottenham, and Tottenham know very well my thoughts. And then at the end of the season, we will meet and we will make a decision. That's what he's apparently just said after the game, which doesn't particularly sound to me.
What that means is, Rob, is that where are we?
Yeah.
Are we in the top four? Yeah. Are we not in the top four?
Yeah.
If they're not in the top four, then I think it totally ends.
Yeah.
And even if they are in the top four, he still might say, how much money am I going to get?
Yeah.
Can I make this bet? Because if not, then you know, we did it last year. I did it last year, got in the top four, and we've had a campaign and we've fallen short. Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it is, isn't it? And to leave it to that point, it still doesn't help the team, Rob. Does it help the club in these last remaining few weeks? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do at the end of the season. It's like, they have got a succession plan. They've got to think about what happens. And the way that Liverpool are going, I don't know, maybe Spurs, and maybe you don't write off Antonio Conte.
Yeah.
And maybe he finds a way to grind through and go on a little run of winning games. But it seems to me that he's going to leave. Back to Harry Kane, Rob, because we have got to keep updating ourselves on Harry Kane. Again, every time they're out of a competition, the commentators of the game.
Yeah, that's all they talk about.
And he's got what? We had this conversation last time, Rob, and I'm he should absolutely move on. I'm sure he wants to move on. But
you
I just don't think Daniel
Levy will let him do it.
Well, would you be surprised? I mean, or he's got was it a year left at the end of the season?
He's got this in the year.
So if they want
money for him,
if Daniel
Levy feels he's got money, it's time to go. I think it will depend how much Harry pushes it this time. I think it'll be how hard he pushes it.
I think it might depend who comes in, Rob, if there's a different
manager. Certainly. But if you know, there's talk of United and one or two others, maybe even somebody abroad, a couple of teams abroad. But that's going to be interesting to see if he doesn't or if he doesn't. Yep. Just go back quickly to this Christian Romero, because we've both talked highly of him. I think we've had him as an underappreciated. I think you've talked about him as one to watch. Mm. We saw him live Spurs v Villa. He's a beast. He gets in there. He tackles. He looks like, you know, he goes to ground. We've both said has to be a bit cautious. I mean, I'm watching today, Robert. 15, 16 minutes, he makes a foul, 25 yards out. Milan get a free kick, which actually they worked really well and should have done better, should have hit the target. I write down on my notes, Romero, one thing, needs to be careful over the next thing he makes sure he's getting a second red. Mm. And two, has to be careful he doesn't become that guy who you can't trust in your back four. Worryingly, Rob, he's becoming that guy. He got sent off against Man City, two yellow cards, similar kind of thing. He flies into a tackle when a guy's on the byline today, which ain't going to win you, isn't like life or death, saving anything. He goes flying in again on a yellow card, almost like doesn't register with him. Yes, we like the physicality. Yes, he's almost a bit throwback, Rob, in the days where people used to go steaming through centre-backs and take everything out and you go, it's okay. Or, you know, the best defenders now step in and intercept. They rarely do their long, big, lunging tackles that you see him sliding from 5 yards and clearing people out. He's got to be careful because he'll become marked and people also recognise that you can just tempt him into coming and having a bite of you. Yeah. And I'm just winding him up. He's going to get cards week in, week out.
Yeah. I mean, he's so aggressive. He's like an angry man. He's like an angry man in his brain. And he loves the prospect of a fight of hurting players and stuff like that. And again, that's if you can control that, it's a brilliant defender to have that physicality. Just very, very, you know, when you said there, like a defender, Rob, that you don't know whether you can trust. Davinson Sanchez was probably one of those that hasn't, you know, and he's been getting a bit of stick from the fans over, recent appearances and months, probably seasons now. That was a weird one, mate. He came on late. Did you see?
Kulusevski comes off. You bring Sanchez
I got 10 men. I know, but they're losing. It's like 20, 15 minutes left.
Yeah, you need a goal to keep you in the game. You need two to get through. Just was a bit, I didn't quite get it myself.
Yeah, but so if anybody knows what's going on there and what the reason is, maybe we missed something, mate. But like, I'm like, well, hang on a minute. One of your most creative players is going off. You need to go, you're 1-0 down, you've got 10 men, and you're going to throw a centre back. So that was kind of a weird decision from Antonio Conte. But
it was a weird old night, not a good night for Spurs. Not a good look for Spurs, Rob.
Too many of them.
Like, you know, when Spurs, you know, talk about big teams, I look at it, AC Milan are a good team. They're not top Champions League level team anymore.
No.
They're not there. They're not that scary Milan that we've known in the past.
No.
And Spurs had a chance today.
They did have a good chance, Rob.
At home.
It's winnable.
To get through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And they either weren't good enough or, the harder thing to say, didn't look bothered enough, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, you know, almost like summarizing, Rob. It's like,
yeah,
we haven't seen the progression, the improvement of Tottenham, have we, under this guy that's a winner? And he's had, and I know he hasn't had superstar signings then, but he's touched bits of nearly all parts in midfield, in wide areas, in wing backs, centre backs. He's touched Longley coming. He's touched most parts of this team, and it's not really any different. It's not any better. And there's been a ton of these games where you're like, oh, it's so boring. And they're not, and late on, Rob, I look at it and I know they've got 10 men. They only needed a goal. They needed one goal and force extra time. And yet everything's flat. The whole stadium is flat. The team is flat. It's like, wow. Yeah, it doesn't look in a good place. I'd be amazed if it continues. Amazed if it continues into next season because, I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. It's going to be a good watch between now and the end of the season. Yeah, obviously, how that goes and how the fans put up with things and if they can hang on to that fourth spot or not. That's going to be the most important thing now for Conte and his team, and then there's some.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Big talking to be done in the summer, I think, for Daniel Levy and a few of the staff. Okay, mate, just let's round things up from the week. Bayern Munich, PSG. Bayern Munich 1-0 up from the first leg. Couple of goals today, get the job done against PSG. I think we all were saying Bayern have got to be favourites. It's whether PSG have a moment, have a day. No more Neymar's out, looks like, for the season. So Messi and Mbappe did start the game, but not in the end. It was pretty one-way traffic, really, wasn't it? Bayern dominated the game, got the goals early enough, 30-odd minutes, Choupo-Moting. Ex-Stoke player, would we believe, is
ripping it up in the Champions League.
And Gnabry gets one late on to see. As I'm watching this game, I just flicked it on and off, Rob, because I was sort of keeping my eye, particularly on Spurs, thinking if something comes there, goal either way it's going to be. So I was just watching the game. And as I was watching it, I was just sort of to myself, so looking at the two teams and thinking, I wrote, Bayern Munich or a version of PSG with work rate. Because Bayern Munich got some top players. Every player who comes on the pitch has to do their part.
Yeah.
But they do it, and they do it with an appetite, and they want to win the ball back, and they want to be hungry, and then they want to play. And when you see PSG, it's a bit the opposite. You see some good players, but they aren't really working that hard, not committed to it.
No, this is a fantasy team, Rob. They've never looked a real team, have they? We know they've got star players, and it's incredible, you know, the money that's been allowed to bring in these star players. But they've never really looked like a solid team. They've been flashy. To be fair, I thought in this game, Rob, as opposed to the first leg game a few weeks ago, at least they tried to play in this one. They took the game to Bayern Munich. They had to. They're behind in the game.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich, I thought, were particularly cautious in the first half. I looked at their bench. I mean, some of the players they got on the bench goes back to, I mean, they have stacked bench.
Yeah.
But a little bit, again, Bayern Munich, I mean, aren't they the one of the best game managers ever in football? They were cautious. They stayed behind the ball. PSG created a couple of opportunities. Mbappe looked dangerous with Messi trying to link and play with him up front. Second half, they capitalize on the desperation of PSG. The counterattacks come, the mistakes come, they jump on it, they put them away. Second goal in the last minute, 90th minute from Serge Gnabry. Yeah. And it was a victory for, good old money. Good old money team in Germany. Well organized. Didn't need to take the game. Realized what PSG are like and the fit situation with the score and stuff, and did a very, very good job. I mean, you know, what it leaves Lionel Messi, Rob, is there's talk now about where he's going to go next.
MLS, some are suggesting, aren't we?
Into Miami, trying to put a deal together, which it's the league, isn't it? I think it's the league as much as the club. I know he loves the US, doesn't he? He loves Florida. Yeah, I think he's been there many times. So that would be amazing for Major League Soccer. But yeah, I just don't know whether this little iteration of PSG's fantasy football team is just sort of falls a bit flat now, and they rethink and regroup.
To go again, don't they? Rebuild, more money chucked at it, and, you know, let's see if they can get anywhere closer. But doesn't look, you know, the same things, aren't we? It's just a different version of the same thing.
Would you say as well, Rob, that they're running out of superstars to buy? Like, if they went to go, I mean, Mbappe is an absolute superstar. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who else that they're going to try and grab from anywhere.
Yeah. Haaland isn't going to leave Man City to go to PSG, is he? I don't think. And so, you know, the best players in the world, unfortunately, are not that driven to playing in the French League. And obviously, if they are, they want to be in a team that's going to go close in the Champions League. And at the moment, PSG not able to do that. A little bit of sad news coming out of Champions League, mate, was Benfica 5, Club Brugge 1. A bit of a doing for Club Brugge and old teammate of yours, actually, Scotty Parker, who we saw back in England when we were over at Christmas. He talked about getting a job. He didn't say when then, but he was talking about getting back, you know, back into a job and working again. He got the Brugge job, but hasn't quite gone to plan. I think that's only 2 wins in 12 since he's taken over. He took over in fourth place in the Belgian league. They're still fourth place, but they've dropped well out of the picture. I think they're 11 points behind third place team. Things haven't been going well. Rumours last night that he might be losing his job. And then I read the club statement, Rob, that I thought was quite telling. It said, in no more words than this, Scott Parker is no longer head coach of Club Brugge. Full stop.
Fair play to have a go to go to Belgium, and you know,
good for
and there isn't many English coaches that do that. Not a ton of them do it. So fair play, but you always sort of think, guys, that's got to be difficult, you know, to go into somewhere like that. I don't know. Hopefully, he'll bounce back, Rob. I think he loves managing. He might have to jump down back into the Championship to try and get a job to come back into the Premier League, which, of course, he did before. So he can do that. He's done that before. That's valuable for Championship clubs. So I think they're way back into the game at a good level at Championship. But not surprising. You have that kind of record. You get dumped out of this. I mean, it's still great, isn't it? He's managed in the Champions League. But no, Benfica, you know, Benfica, Rob, I listen to a really good, and our listeners or viewers, you know, if you've got access and you're interested, the Athletic do a podcast, do a couple of podcasts, but I think it's a Football Daily they do. There was a really good one focusing on the Benfica Academy. And you could reel them off, the amount of players, Rob, that's come through and have gone on to be great players, and the money and stuff. This guy that's very close to it gave a brilliant, just reporting of what it's like there. And they've got hundreds of kids come through. It was a really good listen. And if people are interested.
Wolves have got half of them, haven't they? I think it's Wolves. taking off them, but great talent all through the league.
Really well done. Proper academy, and it's a little insightful about how they work with these young players, and they give them the ball for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. They don't give them any tactical stuff for until they're much older. It's all about getting comfortable with the ball. Then they always have to play in at least 2 or 3 positions. You know, Bernardo Silva, Rob, can play left back, he can play wing, he can play midfield. There's lots of stories of that. Ruben Diaz can play a centre back, he can play midfield, can play right back. So it was fascinating. It just got me thinking when I saw, you know, Benfica again winning today. It's an interesting podcast about how these top European or Portuguese academies do their thing, and then they benefit from the team and then sell them on for mega millions. Interesting.
Yep, absolutely. And all the Premier League teams sitting there waiting with their checkbooks ready to go. Listen, mate, very different outcomes for the two London teams today in the this week in the Champions League. In the west of London, Chelsea won to go through to the quarterfinals. In the north of London, Spurs drew 0-0, so they go out to a sole goal to Milan. We're going to be back on Sunday, that's March the 12th, when we'll take a look back at match week 27 in the Premier League. And we do have a special guest, former Arsenal star Kieran Gibbs. He's going to talk all things Gunners and the title with us, so we'll have a good chat with him. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Mustard, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.